Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
As an individual, you have to know your worth and you have to understand your worth. And one of the difficulties that I faced is there was a point in time where, number one, I didn't know what my worth was and I took it for granted. And it was only when I made that hard decision and I left and I saw what the outside was willing to value me at, that's when I started to understand my worth.
Dedicated to amplifying the voices, stories, and accomplishment of Black Canadians. This podcast is about learning and growing. So let's get into it, shall we? Michelle, and if you are enjoying this season so far, I'm just going to get straight into it. I'm going to need you to do me a favor. I'm going to need you, especially if you're listening from Apple Podcasts or Spotify, to rate and review. You continuously support this podcast by rating and reviewing. And as I mentioned in previous episodes, what that does is it allows my podcast to be shown, kind of like, think of it as an algorithm. So it pushes my content to more eyes and more listeners. That way they get to see. Also, don't forget to follow us on our social media platforms. I will make sure to put all of that information in your show notes. We're essentially on every platform from TikTok to Instagram to YouTube, all of the platforms where you can find us. Like I said, I'll put that information in the show notes below. So we're coming to the end of March. Can you believe we are 3 months into the new year? And let me tell you, this new year is moving by quick. I am actually quite surprised because I remember last year, the year went by so slowly, especially the first 3 months of the year. And to know that we are about to head into April in a matter of days, that is crazy. At the moment that I'm recording this monologue, it is the like the end of April, the last week of April. So Easter is on the horizon. And I want to wish my listeners who celebrate Easter, happy Easter. Also, for those who are of Muslim faith, I do know that you guys are going into Ramadan or have not yet started Ramadan. But whether you started it when you listen to this or whether you're going into it, I wish you a happy Ramadan as you go through this season. So March 19th was the... The calendar says it is the beginning of spring. Now, normally I remember beginning of spring being March 21st. Anyways, March 19th is this year what they say on the calendar would be the first day of spring. Now, I don't know what spring is looking like in your neck of the woods, but here it said spring, but it was acting very much like winter because the next day we had snow, and for a couple of days after snow showed up, and we had quite a bit of accumulation. So not too sure what that means. I'm hoping that once we get into April, you know, the temperatures will kind of settle a little bit, show more of a spring weather as opposed to a winter one, because yeah, I'm over winter. I'm ready for some sunshine. I want to be able to go out, you know, some drinks on the patio with my girls. I am so looking forward to spring and ultimately summer to come because, yeah, I'm over the winter weather. And to be fair, we didn't have a very heavy winter. We barely had any snow in Toronto here. I know maybe in other parts of Canada, there's more of accumulations like places like Montreal. But here in Toronto, it was really not that bad. We may have a couple flurries, but that's about it. Nothing serious. So I can't complain. We didn't have such a heavy winter, but still, I don't like cold, and we did have a lot of cold days. So I'm ready for some warm weather. I'm ready to put on some summer dresses. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to like start this spring summer year, because spring and summer is the time where a lot of festivities happen, festivals, you know, things like in Montreal such as the Jazz Fest. Here in Toronto we've got Caravana. So I'm looking forward to summer and just really getting out there and enjoying life. Now, what else has happened? We recently had the Juno Awards. Now, the Juno Awards, for my American listeners, if you're trying to get an understanding of what that is, think of it like the Canadian version of the Grammys. So they host this elaborate night where, you know, they have their own red carpet event. You know, these celebrities come take pictures, get spoken to by media personalities, and essentially they get nominated, kind of like the Grammys, and the day of the award show they find out if they won. Now, actually, one of our artists in Songs of the Month did win a Juno. Now, I don't know if you guys remember, January's Artist and Song of the Month was Aquila with her song Hello. Well, guess what? Our girl Aquila won. So she won a Juno Award. So definitely, you know, if you want to hear that song, I implore you guys to check out our playlist. We've got a playlist called The Mix. And so I put all our Artists and Songs of the Month on there. Now, if you're new to this and you're wondering, what in the world are you talking about? Well, once a month, I find a Canadian artist and I essentially promote them. I tell you, my listeners, a little bit about them. Nothing crazy, like a small snippet of who they are. And I choose a song that I would think that my listeners will thoroughly enjoy. I have gotten some positive reviews from a lot of my listeners saying how much they've enjoyed it. And so once a month, I will choose a song from that artist and I will give you a small snippet. Now, that is our first episode of each month. So if you're coming on to this on this episode, I implore you to go to the episode before this one and listen to the Artist and Song of the Month for the month of March, which was Javier Mighty and her song Room Service. And so you'll kind of get an idea that I do this only once a month, first episode of the month, just for you guys to kind of see, you know, we have some great local talent here, great artists, whether, you know, from coast to coast, whether it's from BC, Toronto, to the Maritimes, which is, you know, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, all of those places out in the east part of Canada. But basically, just to kind of let you know that we've got some good artists here too, singers, rappers, whatever the case may be. And I definitely encourage you guys to kind of, you know, go down that rabbit hole. So I'll provide you the nugget of the artist and the song. And it's up to you to kind of do your further, you know, dive into their music and see if it's something that you can really add to your own playlist. So let's get into today's episode. I was recently asked to join a panel discussion in which we talked about our experiences in the workforce. I know what you're thinking. Yes, I have a 9-to-5. Podcasting is definitely a hobby, something that I thoroughly enjoy, but I do have a 9-to-5. So we had this discussion, and it was in honor of Black History Month, and I thought that gems were really dropped in this episode or this panel discussion that we had, my first ever panel discussion, and who knows, maybe I'll do more in the future, but I did enjoy the conversation so much that I thought that it was best that, you know, I plug it in for my listeners to hear. I thought that the conversation, like I said, had some great gems, and I thought that, you know what, this would be a great podcast episode for my listeners. So basically, we were having the conversation about our journey in the workforce. Now, like I said, it is a panel discussion, and so it is four of us, me being the fourth one, having the discussion about our journey and, you know, some kind of tips and tricks for those who are maneuvering through the workforce and how to deal with, you know, things like being held down in your position. And do we feel as though our color has prohibited us from moving up the chain? So I'm going to stop talking and I'm going to let you guys get into listening to this episode. Now, I did not plan this episode. As I mentioned, this was a panel discussion. And so it is coming from somebody else who is discussing that with us. And, you know, you'll hear my two cents as well as everybody else's thoughts on this. And without further ado, let's get into it.
Hi everyone, welcome. My name is Nikki, and tonight we are going to have a casual, unscripted discussion, pretty much about the challenges and the barriers we face in our respective workplace. Okay, so tonight we have Warren Greaves from Montreal, Michelle Dennis from Ajax, Jaleesa Huge from Brampton, and myself, Nikki Reed Thomas from Whitby. So what I'm going to do, again, this is unscripted. We're just going to dive into the conversation. We're just having a real unscripted conversation. So anyone can pretty much go ahead and start. Not going to ask you to raise hand. If there is something that comes up and you guys have a point, you just pretty much go with it. So start with myself. For me, I work with an organization in the public sector, and my journey was front end, and I moved up to level one, still level one, but I've moved up a bit, and I find that I face a bit of a challenge moving up, and it wasn't until I start actually volunteering in terms of coaching other peers or new peers that I was able to start seeing some leeway of me moving up. So I'm going to throw it out there. Anyone can go ahead if you guys want to introduce yourself and start. Warren?
Well, I was actually going to defer. I'm going to let the ladies go first.
Okay, ladies first. Let's go ahead.
All right, I'll go. Nikki said, my name is Michelle. I also started in the same organization as her, and that's actually how we met. And from there, because I was coming originally from Montreal, I had an advantage because I speak French. So I left that that part of the organization to go to another part of the organization. In which I work in the HR department, particularly staffing. So I look for people to bring into that particular organization. along the IT realm of it.
Okay. Jaleesa?
Buddy, very similar to these two young ladies. I too work for the public sector as well. I had started off in the call center of the public sector position, where I was then, well, nominated, promoted, whichever term fit best, to then adjudicate contentious reasons for separations, just to be a slight more specific in terms of employment insurance. So that's my this time.
Okay. And Warren?
My name is Warren Greaves. I guess everybody's waiting to say I also work in the public sector, but guess not. That's not the case. You know that song, "One of These Things Just Don't Belong Here." That's me. No, actually, I'm in a managerial role. I'm the shop foreman at BMW Montreal Center. I am the shop manager of about 43 technicians. There's been a lot of it's been a lot it's been a it's been a progress to get where I am, but honestly, by the grace of God, he got me there and he keeps me going.
Yeah. So did you have from when you started out, Warren, in your position, you said it's been a a struggle to get there. Did you face any barriers getting to the managerial role?
I did, but the route that I took to get there was a little bit different. My situation is specific in the fact that I had to leave the company in order to come back into this role. Because I guess we'll dive into it a little more later, but maybe we can maybe veer the conversation that way also. It's as an individual, you have to know your worth and you have to understand your worth. And one of the difficulties that I faced is there was a point in time where, number one, I didn't know what my worth was and I took it for granted. And it was only when I made that hard decision and I left and I saw what the outside was willing to value me at, that's when I started to understand my worth. And that I was being taken for granted, let's say, quote unquote. And through that process, I learned a lot. And then when I came back, what I had to present was a more matured version, a different version, a version where I knew what I could request, I knew what I can ask for based on what I know is out there, you know, as opposed to what I was getting in that position, because it wasn't the same position. I was actually an ex technician. I became a master technician, and from there, kind of the doors pretty much open because the value on the like they always say, grass isn't greener on the other side, and it is true to us in a sense where everything's not going to be just perfect, but at the same time, you have to see what are other enterprises or companies willing to offer you to give you? And then it's like, okay, well, wait, why aren't I getting this where the place where
I
I am,
was
where I want to be? You know what I mean? And sometimes that it takes that bold move, that step to go out. And then when you come back, because that's when they kind of see like, oh man, we suffered a little bit. We did, you know, and then you I was lucky where I can come back, and then I came back in this new role. So it was good because the peers, I can say, saw me in a different light because now I was coming into the role as opposed to when you're working somewhere and you transition up, it's a little bit harder because the people that you are on the same level as,
You're right.
it doesn't necessarily translate well. You know what I
Yes,
mean?
that's true.
So
That's true.
That was a challenge in itself, and it's separating, it's really compartmentalizing your relationships, honestly, because there were friends that you've established, there were coworkers that you're close with, and it's separating, yes, we're friends, and I need you to understand that when it comes to work, this is a work decision as opposed to just because you're my friend, you're not getting special treatment. You know what I mean? So it's a lot of juggling, but I'm navigating it and I'm learning as I go.
Okay. So unfortunately, we don't have the luxury as public servants to step away
No, you're right. I know.
and come back to a higher level because what they have over 750,000 people working in the public servant. I read that online the other day, just this week. That's how much they have. So if we step away, then we don't have that luxury.
Somebody's just there waiting to take your spot.
Always.
Yeah.
Always. So unfortunately, we have to, pretty much go through the struggle of just pushing through to get to where we actually want to be. And tonight we kind of want to focus on the barriers that we face. Like, so my thing is, why is it after 5 years, why am I still at a certain level and I haven't been elevated? Is it because of the color of my skin? Is it because of my education? When I'm being told that your work, your stats are great, your work is good, why is it someone else, our counterparts, that someone that's not black, quote unquote, is moving to somewhere, a level that I want to be? And those are the same people that I coach. Those are the same people that's asking me questions about their work, and I'm giving them, providing them guidance and answers, and they're moving up, and I'm still stuck here. So it is there, it's real. We do have faced those barriers in the workplace. Jaleesa or Michelle, any thoughts on that?
While I do agree that we can't necessarily leave, I think it all de ultimately depends on a couple factors. The department that you're in, who you work for, as well as the manager that you have. And I know that struggle as well. I was in the call center for a very long time. I was not getting anything, even with the bilingualism. And I found that when I left that particular department to go to another one, all of a sudden opportunities were just booming for me. Acting, promotions, act. So I do think that they're there. You just have to be very careful and watch. Get maybe even some information and feedback as to, I know this sounds bad, but which departments to stay away from. And which departments are definitely there for growth. My department is, it's just insane the level of growth that you can have. I would have stayed in that same department. And I'm like Warren in the sense of I know my worth. I know what I could bring to the table. I know what knowledge I have. I did not go to this much level of education to be at this level. So what I'm not gonna do is I'm not gonna stay here forever. You might want that for me, but I don't. It is definitely a mental struggle. I'm not gonna sit here and lie. There were nights that I've cried because it just felt like I would never move up. And I consider myself a pretty ambitious person, So I think it's about striving and finding people who can really help you move. And I know this is hard to say, especially in the realm that we are in, but just keep pushing through as much as you want to stop and I want to do this and keep pushing through. Try to find ways to network with other. That's what I was doing, networking with managers in other departments, getting my name out there, constantly applying. I know it's easier said than done, but I definitely encourage that. As well as, I know this kind of is for some people, this might be painful to hear, that they need to start staffing more people of color, particularly Black people. I know right now there's this thing called DEI, and it's just like a checkbox to fill, but they really need to do that because if not, we end up being stuck in these roles and put into these boxes, and then we can't get out. So, I agree with Warren too. keep pushing through. But I definitely understand that struggle is real. I was there.
Yeah, and you touched on something there about networking. I remember when I was at the call center, and I was at in the call center for 2 years, and it's when I moved from one location to the other, and I came to the call center, and it's when I start networking, when I start advocating for myself, and saying what can I do? I don't want to be here. Like I pretty much had to be, well, I wouldn't say aggressive, but for lack of a better word, I kind of was. I was like on them every day. Listen, I don't want to be here. What can I do? I need to move up. And I started talking to people that I know could assist me and help me. And I also started to volunteer. I volunteer in the coaching. I didn't want to do it, but I felt scared doing it because I'm like, I just want to come into work and just make my money and just leave. I don't want to mess with nobody else. And it's I had to like really step out of myself and be like, you know what? I got to do what I got to do. And I actually enjoy coaching. Like I actually enjoy, like I find that when I started doing it, I'm like, wait, I am helping people. I really love doing this. And I think that's why I'm still in the department that I am, because I am actually helping people. And that's my passion, is to help people. So it's when I started doing that, then they started seeing that, hey, she's not just someone who's following instructions. She can actually do something. And I started moving up from there. And I think what I did say to them is that I want to learn the entire aspect of the department that I'm in now, because there are different levels. So I said, I want to learn everything. So when I get to the goal where I intend to be, I already know everything and I have those tools. But now that I'm here, I want to go to the next level, and I'm finding that a bit challenging.
Okay. There's
Yeah.
a few points that both you and Michelle brought out that I wanna touch on some of those, but actually I'm gonna let Julissa give her experience in that same regard as me as myself and Michelle did. Then we'll circle back. So you could go ahead, Julissa.
Definitely to touch upon Michelle and Nikki's points, it is about networking. It is about communicating, especially in our cases with our team leaders. I felt that building a, not to say friendship or relationship or nothing of that nature, but just some form of camaraderie with my team leader, just in consistent communication with them, just saying, hey, came across this claim, came across this. Just showing them that, again, that I'm very similar to what exactly what Nikki said, interested in learning the entire dynamics, looking at it from a bigger picture. What does the entire story look like in terms of like how we do our jobs and our roles at that time? So definitely networking was a major key. And it also expressing, not say my feelings per se, but again, my interests, using the term aggressive per se, just saying, hey, I heard through the grapevine that this opportunity potentially is available. Like, what could I do to get to that point as well? So that way, again, I would be able to be put in outside of the box, right? Again, circling back to what Nikki and Michelle both said, it's like, if you don't, then they will keep you in that space. Like, they'll keep you there, right? And again, of no fault of them, not fault of anybody, but again, as young Black women and men and everybody in between, we want to make sure that we advance and have the opportunity to advance in what we want to see 10 years up the road, 15 years up the road. What does that look like for us, right? So networking was a major, major key in terms of getting to more movement, we'll say, within our public sector. But yeah, you could go learn.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. That's a great tidbit. To speak on that networking, just to expand on it a little bit and just give practical application, for those that are going to tune into this. It's basically asking or making yourself aware of who's in charge of certain processes in your organization? Because obviously there's various organizations that are structured differently. So for example, in a situation, your direct supervisor may, like, yes, he oversees you, but he may not have anything to do with the hiring process to the next level up. You understand what I mean?
That's
So
true.
it's also finding out who those individuals are. So in that networking, guys, that we're speaking of, it's finding out who those individuals are and knowing who those people are so that you know who you're talking to. Because the worst thing would be drumming up all this information and whatever, and you're speaking to the wrong person
The
that
wrong
can't do
person.
anything for you.
That's true. That's true.
So finding out first of all who that individual is, and as I think it was you, Michelle, said, making known to that individual your interests. And that's where we kind of have to forget that passive nature. Because if you're too passive, then it's as we stated, you're just gonna remain. They're like, okay, well, he or she is doing the job that we hired them for, and it's like, hey, we're happy, they're happy, everything's fine. But if you make known that you're looking to progress, you're looking to go up, you're looking to advance, and sometimes some of those questions, they can be a little bit hard. When you're looking for employment, that's one of the questions that ultimately always should be asked. Is there room for progression? Is there room to build upon where I'm starting at? And most employers will be very honest with you, because some jobs, unfortunately, it's what it is. Like, the job is what it is. And so we have to be aware of that. So that's one thing. Secondly, we were talking about really quick, the black aspect, and is that some of our hindrance? And I really believe it is, and it's great that now I can speak from the perspective of where I am. But it's just funny sometimes, like there's some situations where my specific role is both non and customer facing. Like, I do both sides because I manage the guys in the back, but I do have a lot of interactions with the sales department and clients and so forth. So I just find it funny sometimes. They're like, oh, we're gonna go get the specialist, or like I'll be called different titles, right? And it's like, oh, I'm gonna go get the specialist, or I'm gonna go get my shop foreman or the master tech or whatever it is. And it's like, it's the face where you show up and they're like, okay, this guy's gonna help me, right? But the thing is, it's those situations which are so key. Because you have to be, number one, confident and understand, know your product, know what it is you're talking about. And at the same time, don't be scared. One thing I learned is when you don't know something, do not ever be scared to say you don't know. But it's not don't know and you leave it at that. Hey, they ask you a question and you don't know the answer. You know what? I don't know that, but I'm gonna find out for you. Like, that has to be the follow-up immediately, so that it's like they see that you're full of knowledge, you're able to help them, but also you're not afraid to learn more things. You're not afraid to go search for where the information is, and your employers will see that in you. They'll see that drive, that passion. So it's like there's nobody that knows everything, but you have to be willing to grow. You have to be willing, and you have to show that you're willing to go, because they'll see those qualities pop out in you.
And you mentioned something there, Warren, about not just saying you don't know, but you're gonna find out. I remember when we started, and I'm sure Jaleesa and Michelle can attest to this, our first training, it's like, you want them to know that you're in charge, you know what you're talking about. But at the same time, if a question is asked, you're gonna say, "I don't know. Do you mind holding for a moment so I can get that information for you?" And the receptiveness of the client on the other line, there, it's a lot better when you come back, when you're interacting with them, rather than saying, "You know what? I don't know." Because when you say, "I don't know," all hell break loose with them. Oh,
They're
sorry, I'm
usually
sending
like,
it to
can you
her.
get me
My
somebody
apologies.
that
So, you definitely have to like not leave them hanging there and have that room for growth and show that you're willing to learn more. And just touching on the willingness of learning more, We do have courses in our organization that we can take online
Mm-hmm.
to help us to advance our knowledge of the legislation, I should say, or different things that we can learn. And it's not only about the work aspect of it. Those courses, there are different topics that we can learn on. It's about how to handle a difficult conversation, how to you guys can help me out if I miss any of them.
How to like de-escalate a call or something
De-escalate,
along.
yes. But and they're also self-help programs that is offered, like courses that we can just go online and we do that for free. So those are some of the coming to where I'm going now, the tools, what tools and resources are out there that we can use to assist us to get to the next level and possibly help someone who is watching this that can help us. So in your workplace, find out what is offered. What do they have there that you can use? We do have those courses. What do you have in your organization or your workplace that you can access to help you?
And utilizing those tools, right? And communicating that this is the specific course that I took. I've learned this. Again, just touching bases with management or team leaders or whomever of superior to say, I have taken the initiative. And that's another thing too. It's like you have to want to for yourself as well. In many cases, they're not going to offer it to you. Some do, some don't, but it's like if again, if you know within the next 10, 15, whatever, how many years that you want progression, you want movement, you have to also take initiative on taking these courses and saying, hey, I came across this course. I think it would be an advancement for another position that could potentially be open up. It may not be open available to you at that current moment. However, you are building those skills or building your resume essentially. So when, if and when that opportunity does present itself, you're ready.
Oh, there's something that you just saying that you just made me think of something. There's also part of the research that I would urge.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Individuals that want to progress or to go higher in their company, also look into like if your company has been established for a long period of time, do a little bit of research on the position itself, as far as to see other individuals that have been there and how long that position has been around. Because what I've learned later in life is that oftentimes when companies want to cut costs, there's certain positions that they'll abolish, and like they're kind of like in a rotation where, let's say, there's a 5-year period, like this position will be around and then they'll abolish it for like a few years to cut costs and then they'll bring it back. And if you do some research and see that that's one of those positions, like I would urge you, no, don't go that
Don't go
direction,
there.
because lo and behold, usually that cycle repeats itself. So you kind of want to look for positions that are more solidified in the enterprise, that are more that are more needed, that when hard times come around, they're not the first ones that they're trying to trim the fat off and stuff like that. So it just, as you said that, Jaleesa, it just made me think of that, because that was something that recently happened at our company where like the position was great, the person was there, but it's a position that literally 5 years ago they had abolished and now they abolished it again. So it's like it's like a sequence.
Okay. Yeah. And so one of the things I wanted to say as well, in terms of networking, we were talking about networking and stuff. So what I do you think, or I guess I should say it this way, one of the things we do, or I used to do as well, as a person of color, is I try to stick with my own.
Hey!
But I tend, yes, I am guilty of that. I'm at work. I'm trying to, you know, look out for all people of color like myself. Mm-hmm. But it's not always a good thing because mm-hmm. you need to be able to have relationships with those mm-hmm. people that can get you in those doors that you mm-hmm. want to go in. And our own color is not always the one that's going to get us into that door. So that's another tip, as in networking, we have to network with the right people, the right where we want to go, right?
I just wanted to mention, Sophia, that sometimes, even though you're looking for those Black people, and I'm talking from experience, what is the saying, all skin folks, not kin folks? Some of them are not going to help you.
And that's true.
I will say, definitely broaden your horizon. I get it. Yes. We are so comfortable with our own that we're going to, hey, Black girl. Hey, right. Black guy. But, you know, it's not always the case where I can say, you know, like, because I'm friends with this person, sometimes it's been a situation where they're like, no, stay away from me. No, true. I'm not going to help you out. So I don't want people to always automatically think that if they're like the same complexion, same color, whatever of myself, they'll help me. Some of them won't. But I do agree with you in terms of opening up your eyes to having other people. If you can get other people of other race, ethnicities behind you, then I feel as though it's more likely that they're going to push your name out.
Yes.
Not to say that there aren't any Black ones. I have a great, amazing Black boss, and she would. But I'm just saying there are some situations where they will not. It can be said for the other side as well. For those who are not the same color, ethnicity, and complexion as us, they can also not say anything and not push your name up. I think it's just more so knowing to just kind of get your name out there everywhere and anywhere, hoping that, you know, somebody's going to bite and somebody's going to help you move up.
Yes. So we have been speaking a lot about networking in terms of one resource that we can use to help us in terms of getting to that next level. Are there any other resources out there that we can put out there for someone who's listening that can assist them in terms of, you know, because the topic for our Black History Month is now that we're here. So we have, you know, the three of us, the three of us have moved from, you know, the call center, and we have transitioned, right, to another level where, you know, I don't know about Michelle and Jaleesa. I know right now I'm feeling a little bit complacent, and I'm at that point where now I'm like, I need to move because I know all this. I get it. It's like I can do this with my eyes closed. I need to move. So what are the tools out there? And even for someone that's not in the public sector, someone that may be working in the private sector, apart from the networking aspect of it, what other resources or tools are out there or systems that are out there that can help them to move up?
I would say, I'm not too sure if all companies have this, but in some companies, they do have a mentorship program. They do have an ability for you to sit with them and kind of learn what the other person's job is. If you're not too sure of the trajectory you want to go into the company, then at least try to get a mentor or if there's a position that you're looking at and you're not too sure if that's something that would suit you, see if you could sit in the role with the person for a day. See, you know, be in their shoes to see, is this something that you could potentially see yourself doing? What is the role? Do you like this? You know, so I would say a mentorship program. Again, you'll have to check with your company. Each company is different. I know for us in the public sector, we do have that, a mentor, mentee kind of thing. And then also sitting in the, you're not really like working in the role, you're just more so alongside the person while they go through their day-to-day role. You learn what they do. And then from there, it could really, not only does it continue networking because it exposes you now to a different niche of people, it gives you more of an understanding of how that role works and if it's something you want to do. So I said those two.
Okay. Warren or Jaleesa, do you have any other input?
I was gonna say, in some companies, say for example, I don't know, I'm not too familiar with the setup in Ontario. I believe it's similar, but in Quebec, we have a lot of companies, a lot of individuals that work for a company where they have a union.
Okay.
So I'm possibly in Ontario, there's individuals in that same situation. But I'm aware that the unions, I mean, usually we'll hear about unions and it's just when they're fighting in the on the news or whatever and they're doing, but I would say inquire with your unions because I know that there's some benefits in being part of a union where in Quebec, for example, they offer what is it exactly? How to explain it? It's basically where you can try on or do a lateral move to another position, and you have a 3-month trial that you can go to another position and try it out. And if after 3 months you decide that, hey, it's not for me, you actually have the right to transition back without any effect or any consequence. So it is one of the tools to maybe look into. I know that obviously, all unions aren't equal, they're not all the same, but this is information that you have to inquire about. I know that it is available in some of the companies. At my company, well, I'm not part of the union because I'm part of management, but some of the technicians, for example, that is one of the benefits of their union where they can change roles and utilize that advantage where if they're thinking of doing a role change or whatever, they can do that transition period for 3 months and then decide at that point, hey, if this is not for me, hey, let me just go back. So that is something to look into also.
Good point. I do believe we have that in our company as well. There's another thing, like in terms of networking systems that we can use, there is something online. It's actually, if you Google it's on Google. It's called GC Collab. So GC Collab is, I'm not sure if anyone of you heard of it before. You can use it. It's not only open to the public sector, it's open to private sector and to students as well. So that's another tool. You're just going to Google and type in GCCO, sorry, GC COLLAB, GC Collab, and sign up, and you can pretty much put yourself out there. And there are managers on that platform. There are recruiters on the platform. There's students on the platform. So that's a good one. There's also Finn Learning Hub. It's the Federal Youth Network. That you can Google that as well. Just going to Google, type in the FYN Learning Hub. That's also another system that can help to assist in terms of networking and assist someone who wants to move from one direction to another in terms of their work.
I would say also, so I mean, since at the end of the day, this is a spiritual church based, we're on the Shiloh platform, right? So, I mean, I'll also put it out there. I mean, it's gonna sound kind of cliche or not cliche, really, but you know what? Growing up in church does give you life experience, funny enough. Like when they're asking you to, I don't know, let's say do scripture reading in front of on Sabbath morning, or you know what I mean? Like those experiences, funny enough, train you inadvertently, like for some of the experiences that we can face further in life. Why I'm saying this is that for me, being in management, usually management positions require years of experience or some type of management course that you've taken or some type of vocational training or schooling or whatever it may be. And my journey to that was kind of, it was more of a relatability where it's like, okay, we're going to try this out and see how it goes. And some of the tools that I utilized when I reached that role were the things that I learned in church, the things that I learned in like Pathfinders, the things that, it was crazy. And
Yes.
to see the real life application of some of these things, obviously years later, you couldn't tell me that back then. I was like, you're crazy, you know, like
Right.
whatever. But to see the real life application of it, it's just, it's not as, I know some of our young people now, it's like we look at these scenarios of like, no, I'm not doing that or what. But it's like these things train you to be able to like talk to people, to have like to be relatable, to be like, for example, my role, it's like I have 44, 43, sorry, different technicians. And I have to deal with 43 different temperaments. I can't speak to all of them the same way. I can't ask all of them the same way to do something. I can't, you know what I mean? And you have to learn how to be relatable to each one individually. There's times where there's information that is passed on collectively, yes, but at the same time, there's a level of respect that needs to be established. And it's like, I need to learn these guys and understand, like, how do I relate to this guy? And this guy differs from this guy. And this guy can ask him this way, but this guy can't ask him this way. And if this guy asks him in that way, he's gonna get offended. And if you know what I mean? And it's like, it's juggling this whole thing. And it's like, it's crazy though, because when you're in that church life, you're dealing with so much different characters, so much
Yes.
different. And it's like, yo, this is preparing you for life.
For real
And
life.
I just wanted to point that out, because sometimes we look at our like we look as though church work doesn't have a relationship, but it really does. And some of the tools that we learn in those four walls, you'd be surprised at when you allow it to work positively for you in the workplace, you see the benefit.
Good point. Good point. Okay, so we are winding down to the end of our discussion. So we learned some key points here in terms of the barriers that we face within the workplace. We all face it as Black people. So we don't really want to focus necessarily. We know it's there. We know we have barriers. We know there's racism. We know there's systemic racism. We know all that. But the point of this all is not so much to focus on it. We acknowledge that it's there, but focusing on it, talking about it's not going to get us to where we want to be. So the whole goal of this is how do we jump over that, well, or move past that to propel ourselves to get to the other side where we want to be. So we spoke about, mentorship program, we spoke about networking, we spoke about advocating for ourselves. We spoke about speaking to the right people, like to get us into the right rooms. Is there any other final thoughts or comments that any of you would like to throw out there that may help someone or a youth? Maybe a young adult that, is still in school, wanting to know where they can go, how they can get there, what tools are out there for them. And it could be someone, maybe an adult or a young adult that's in a job right now, stuck in a job in an environment that they don't want to be, and they want to get to a better job working environment. Is there any advice that we can give them that's going to help them and assist them, not just to have this conversation, but they can walk away and say, you know what? I learned something today. I'm going to apply that to my life.
I would say, touching on what Warren said,
Know your word.
I think of a couple things. One of them is definitely find a community that will support you. I find that when you have a community that supports you, it helps. Like, for example, I'm in the creative world, and as a creative, they are aware of knowledge that I'm not necessarily aware of. So if you find a community of people, they might be able to give you more insight on how to maneuver in said organization or department, help you with who you should speak to, who to avoid, take those information seriously. So that's definitely one thing, finding that community. Also, that helps you to encourage you. I know when we were in the call center, we were pretty much like, ugh. But I promise you, if it wasn't for Jalissa and Nikki, and just encouraging each other, I probably would still be in the call center. So finding your community definitely helps you to grow. And I would also say, do your research. Researched. I tell people to research a lot about the organization because not it's easy to look at an organization and think that's it. That's the organization I wor want to work for. But like sometimes people find themselves in these organizations going, this was it, and dealing with things like toxic work environment, microaggressions. So do your research. There are plenty of apps, websites out there that provide you more insight anonymously from coworkers. But if you're going to do your research, just be mindful. Some people do have a little bit of angst towards it. So, take the information, but don't let it be like way heavy on you, So yeah, I think those would be the two things I would say. And as for a student, I guess it comes back to a networking. I know with the Government of Canada, they have FSWEP, which if you're looking to get your foot in the door, FSWEP is your thing. You can Google that. All the information is there. It's public knowledge. Go through FSWEP if you're trying to get in. If you're going to get in, I will say one thing for students. Really impress the manager. That's what I will say. Really impress the manager because the Government of Canada does have a mandate of hiring students. Impress them. If you want to stay, impress them.
Good.
All right. I would say there's a few actually. From the perspective of individuals who are already in a position in a company, I'll give you an example of the way to have a conversation with the superior or the management. For example, people say that one of the hardest things is asking for a raise or asking for a promotion. So one of the ways, because the thing is, if you present the question as a yes or no, it's easy to get a yes or a no, right? Now, if you present the question as an opportunity or a way of learning, so I'll give you the example as this. Let's say I'm in a position and there's a higher position that I want to be at, and I'm aware that there's an opening there. So I would get in touch with the individual in charge of hiring for that position. And the way how the conversation I would present it would be like, okay, such and such. Let's say the person is Michelle. I'd be like, hey, Michelle, I heard that there's this opening at this position. This is where I would want to be. This is where I am right now. What is it that I have to do within now? And you give yourself a time frame. So let's say a year. What is it that I have to do? Let's say 6 months. Let's say, what is it that I have to do within 6 months to get to that position? Or what do you require from me that will put me first in line for that position? Because then what you do now, you place the onus on that manager to be like, okay, now I have to strategize and find this person a pathway. I have to find them, okay, they're, I need, and their answer has to be like, I need you to do this, this, and this. And if you fulfill those goals, then it's like the position is guaranteed because they, in usual situation, they can't go back on their word. You know what I mean? So it's setting it up where you like no can't be the answer because you're telling them like, listen, I understand maybe I'm not ready now, but what do I have to do to be ready? What is it that you need from me? What is it? And then that also maps out your path, and that also shows them that you're willing to do what it needs to what you need to do to get to that position. So that's just a little key point in having those conversations. Secondly, honestly, utilize Google and social media. Like, I'm not big on social media, like Nikki will know, but I mean, just watching YouTube videos, you can Google or YouTube search or TikTok search pretty much anything nowadays, mm-hmm. right? And yeah. there's hundreds of people, thousands even, giving you, okay, obviously there's both sides, there's the good, there's the bad, but they're giving you free information or situational information on certain aspects. Just take a moment, do a bit of research, because you'll see perspectives, and it's like, you have people on TikTok being like, hey, I was doing this and now I'm doing like all kinds of stuff. So it's like yeah. the hours that we spend scrolling through nonsensical stuff, we could take the 5-10 minutes and actually look at something that is pertinent to our advancement, you know, individually. So
yeah.
that's something to look at too. And that's then I would jump on the same bandwagon as Michelle and say that eagerness, they have to see that drive. Being that I'm somebody who now I'm in a position that I do hiring. And what I've learned and what I've seen taking an assessment of the individuals that I interview and that I work with, when I have that, when I see that eagerness, even though the knowledge is not there, what mm-hmm. I've learned is that the eagerness leads them to find out about what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's true.
That eagerness is very key, because if you see somebody that doesn't have that eager spirit, they're very like lax. It's like, it's hard. I'm not saying that it's a open and shut case, but it's hard to see the drive in that person as opposed to somebody who exhibits those characteristics that it's like, listen, I don't know all of this, but I'm willing to work. I'm willing to do what I need to do to get to that position. And then lastly, what I'll say is, in the current position that you are, my wife actually gave me this this tidbit. She was saying that whenever you do something, may it be in, like, let's say a little bit outside of your job description, you should write it down. Like, for example, how can I say it? For example, if you did something that was extraordinary, exemplary, right? You would write it down. And then when the conversation comes up, these are things that you can bring up as points. Like, hey, but I was able to do this. Or you were talking, I think, Jaleesa, you said about a course that I took. Write those things down. So it's like, these are like the bonuses that you're adding. This is the added value, because at the end of the day, you're selling yourself. These are the added value. Hey, if you buy this package, if you buy this Warren Greaves, you get the addition of this, of this, of this. You know right. what I mean?
So it's like going above and beyond.
Exactly. Your but you have yeah. to make note of it, because unfortunately, over time, even us, we tend to forget. We tend to forget, like, if you were asked to do a task that wasn't necessarily within your guise or whatever, but you were able to accomplish it, write those things down yeah. because it's stuff that you could bring back and you can utilize that in your to your benefit later. So
you could yeah. sell yourself with it. And in the public sector, we have a lot of projects
yeah.
that we yes. do that are outside of our role. So if you can manipulate example. Your resume, for example, yeah. One of the things that we did at the call center was screening candidates.
Mm-hmm.
That is not a part of our job description, but it was a volunteer thing.
Yes.
And so now it's on, you best believe that's on my resume now.
You see, exactly.
I say I screen, I da-da-da-da, we had conversations, I talk about it in my interview, because now that is something that I can utilize and say that I have experience in. Do I have tons of experience? I don't need to know that. As long as it's on the resume, you can really sell yourself. And that way it helps you maneuver through that part of the job.
That's
so I agree
true
with you on.
Yeah. And even the speaking of a point that you made, Michelle, about the volunteer, the FIN program, Federal Internship for Newcomers program, I volunteer for that. That's on my resume. Mm-hmm. And Warren made a point about, you know, that eagerness. Why I remember it bring me back to when my first job that I was in for 18 years, I started out in a pharmaceutical company, Rexall, and I started as a cashier. And I started, when the store or the when it's dead and there's not really a lot of customers in there, I started going around the store and just moving things around. And because I'm a neat freak, and just start putting things in, different spaces that would sell and draw the attention to the customers. And my manager's like, "What are you doing?" I'm like, "Don't you think this look better here?" But that was back then, before they have those, the like planograms, they call it planograms, or systems where now it's like it has to be this way. I used to go around and just change it up, and they're like, "Wait, you're pretty good at this." So then they took me to a, I had to do, I do a training that's merchandising course. So I do have that merchandising certificate somewhere in here. but I started propelling from there. So now I became the store merchandiser.
There you
And
go.
then after that, I started, back then in my younger years, I had that eagerness of just doing stuff. I would go back to the pharmacy and help out customers and help count pills and stuff like that, because I did that in school, and then I moved from merchandising clerk to assistant manager, because I was, pretty much hands-on, helping customers with the staff and everything. And then from assistant manager to manager, because now I had that drive, and that's a key point, having that drive. I wanted to help, I wanted to do, and then get in my own store, not my own, but the company put me in a store to run. And I would, they come in and they say, "Wait, this store is really neat, really clean." So now they're moving me from stores to store, going around, assisting with acquisitions, assisting with renovations, assisting with cleaning up stores. So having that drive and putting yourself out there, that really helps. And yeah, so that's really a good point that you both touched on that I just wanted to highlight there. And also, yes, the website, there is the Canada.ca website. It's not like, private. It's right out there for everyone. You go in there, you search on the jobs, government jobs. There are a lot of government jobs out there for individuals who want to get into the public sector. They just have to navigate the website and look at it.
I would also add another thing that people are not really, probably not taking seriously. And I say that because I was in recruitment, is LinkedIn. People are not taking LinkedIn seriously. And I say that in a sense of because a lot of recruiters are out. I can't speak on behalf of now, but last year, the year before that, there were a lot of recruiters that were out on LinkedIn. And if you're looking for work, I'm telling you, fix up your LinkedIn, profile, I think we'll call it.
The profile.
It's yeah, a profile. Make sure everything's up to date. If you need help, there are definitely organizations that are that could help you with. If you could fix up a resume, that same resume they fix up, you could just copy and paste it onto your LinkedIn. I again, I'm not in staffing right now, so I'm not too sure, but I do know at one time even the government was very hot in terms of looking for people on LinkedIn,
They
and
still are.
hiring them. They still are. Okay, there you
They're
go.
still there. They're still
They're
there.
still there. So if you're
Yep.
looking, well, and I'm not saying like publicly, this is also in the private sector. I have friends who work in the private sector. A lot of people don't, when I say they don't take it seriously, like they'll have an account, they don't check sometimes. A lot of people are sending out, I
I'm
don't know what they call
guilty.
it, emails. Emails or DMs. I really don't know what to call this part of the system, but they will send you like, hey, we saw your resume or your profile. It looks great. Would you be interested in applying? And we don't hear nothing. So, look, I promise you, someone will go on their LinkedIn and see an offer potentially after watching this video. Beyond, if you have it, be on it, clean up your profile because, yeah, recruiters are on that heavy.
You're right, Michelle, because I do still get messages, but the messages that are coming into me, they are geared towards retail, because I did not upgrade my My
Yes.
resume. So I
Yes.
am guilty. I'm putting it out there. I'm
Yes.
guilty. I
Retail
need
and
to look
customer
at that.
service, if you have any of that on your resume or a LinkedIn profile, they are coming for you because retail and customer service, they're always, and I'm in customer service like a store to like a call center, that kind of customer service. I know that's a lot of issues that people are having with is I'm still getting customer service stuff. I graduated out of accounting. Why are they still contacting me? Remove it. Remove it. Or if you don't want to remove it, retune the words. It's about, I know this sounds bad, it's about manipulating those words so that you get a different outcome. I remember when I changed my my LinkedIn page, all of a sudden I kept the fact that I worked there, but I made it so not connected to custom, like working at a call center. I got no more emails for customer service. So play with those words. I do encourage people, if they don't know how to do it or don't know where to start, find organizations that help you with fixing up your resume. And then whatever you got, copy, paste, put it on LinkedIn.
Good point. Yeah, and they are looking for those keywords. Managers and recruiters are looking for those keywords, even in your interview, on your resume. They're looking for those keywords, so we have to, find those keywords. Okay, so this was great. I really do hope that someone out there that listened to this later, as we're not live right now, it's being recorded. I really hope this helps someone out there. And I want to thank you guys again, and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, for coming out and doing this. So thank
Our
you.
pleasure.
Shout out to my girl Nikki for helping me be on this panel discussion. It was a great discussion. Now, this audio is available here on the streaming platforms that you listen to. However, this was all done online. So you can definitely check out the visual component to this on their YouTube channel. So it's Shiloh SDA Church Toronto. You can definitely type that into YouTube and you'll find the church, and which you should find our panel discussion as well. What I'll do just to be safe is I'll make sure to put the link into the show notes. So I'm hoping that you were able to get some gems. I think, like I said, that this discussion was really informative, and it will definitely be encouraging to many others, as I know for some people who are maneuvering through the workforce, people of color, BIPOC community can definitely use these gems. So, if you enjoyed today's conversation, if you enjoyed this episode, as always, rate and review, and I will catch you guys in the next episode.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.